Howdy, partners. Welcome back. Joined alongside us, we got Jason Ashman. Jason works with me, so I see his beautiful face every day. We've got a fun topic, but the reason I wanted to bring Jason on today is I think it's, one, we're getting into this kind of relevant season around conferences and events. And so really today, you know, Jason, from my experience of working with him, has this knack and expertise around really cultivating a solid event strategy and conference strategy when it comes down to partnerships. So that's really what we're going to talk about today. And Jason, if you wouldn't mind just doing a quick intro.
I've been in the tech and really startup space for a little over a decade, 14 or so years, give or take. From everything from, you know, C companies, you know, just got like under $1 million in funding to companies that are post-acquisition. So kind of seeing all shapes and sizes and kind of growth throughout my years. And my core focus has really been large scale strategic initiatives that really help companies scale, right? So not transactional deals, but like long tail, long term deals. And so currently right now, I oversee our tech partnerships and our strategic alliances at a company called SaaS Labs with our main primary product called Just Call, a soft phone, cloud phone type solution, basically.
What's the value of a conference strategy or even attending conferences from a partnership play?
Being able to get out there and engage in this face-to-face conversations and build that rapport has been, I think, tremendous, especially for me just post-COVID. Being able to drive conversations forward and hitting kind of like one conference with like 25 partners or 10 partners, whatever it is, instead of traveling to each 25 cities is tremendously helpful, I think.
And I think I'd kind of plus one on that. I think, it's interesting. I think the remote work piece has brought us a lot of benefits in terms of, you know, being able to hire people. But I would agree with you in the way that I'm kind of old school in the way that if I'm going to work on a project or a big bit of work, or even to your point, I'm trying to solidify a partnership, I feel like there's a lot more that can be actioned in like a 45-minute face-to-face conversation, maybe even around a whiteboard. And I don't know why that is, but I think I kind of plus one on that point around conferences being that place that you can actually get a ton of work done just by having those kind of face-to-face interactions.
It's something that you've got to build towards. Like I think I would also plus one, and I've been to a couple conferences since COVID broke, and it's just like, it's invigorating. Like it's kind of reinvigorating and brings back to the professional kind of like growth and mindset that you want, where it's like, all right, you know what? Like, I can still do this. Like I can talk to people and stuff like that. It's something that's so simple. But on top of that, when you look at like the planning and strategy that has to go into it, like you're pulling a lot of legwork up front to make that a successful conference. You know, like you're meeting people on site, but you've got like it can be noisy, it can be very clustery from like the pre-build up to going to a conference or an event where you know you've got a wealth of opportunity available to you. You know, what do you think are the most important strategies or inputs that you need to do to make sure that you're successful there?
I think the first thing I start with, right, is making sure you do some research, right? So choosing the right conference, I think that's kind of like the first step in the game, right? Making sure that the right audience is going to be there. Beyond that, right, studying the agenda, the speaker lineup, the attendee list, right, and identifying potential partners or current partners that are either actively there or attending all that stuff, that's going to be really impactful to my decision-making process thereafter, right? And that's where you kind of start laying all the groundwork. You start off with maybe your closer circle, let's say, of engaging with current partners. And if you have the ability to maybe sponsor stuff at the conference, I think that's a really strong strategy to take as well, right? Doing some cross-collaboration, sponsoring like a happy hour or an event or a dinner or something like that. Even actually having people, let's say, if they have a booth and we have a booth, right? And we're close partners, having maybe someone from their team be in our booth a little bit and someone from our team be in their booth a little bit, right? And so, because again, we share those mutual customers, right? I'm speaking now also from like the tech side of the house, right? So for example, we integrate with HubSpot. We have a good integration over there, right? And so it will make sense for us, for someone from HubSpot to speak to customers that come into our booth at a conference, because that's a very strong connection right there, right? Someone needs a cloud phone type solution, soft phone solution, whatever it is. They need a CRM for all that stuff to kind of be housed into, and then vice versa as well. And so really aligning yourselves with the right partners early on is important.
So one of the things that I was very mindful of with conferences, and I think it just depends how close your organization watches your budget. But a lot of organizations, especially if you're going to make an investment in a booth or even it's just airfare in a hotel, you need to provide like the ROI or the expected ROI or the business benefit of attending. And so I think that's a really interesting thing to consider, especially when you went through, hey, like check the attendee list. Hey, like make sure that there's actually going to be partners there. Even though some of that stuff can be very hard to quantify, I think a lot of departments, especially in this kind of economic environment, are looking at, hey, what's the kind of quantifiable ROI? If it's going to sign two strategic partnerships, then it kind of makes sense. But I think that's another piece to kind of layer into conference strategy, is that kind of upfront business case, right, to actually get the cash.
Of course. And it also kind of depends on the overall goal is, right? If the goal is to maybe land partners or expand partners, maybe stuff like that, or you can be just more exploratory sometimes. So like maybe you're not going to do a booth, but if you're going to send someone there, it's going to probably cost you ballparking it for, you know, 2-3 days at, I don't know, some hotel or in some airfare and a couple Ubers and a dinner, probably $2,000-$3,000 on the company budget, right? And that to me, as just as a person, like, hey, I want that $2,000-$3,000 in my pocket, right? And so being able to build that case prior to it, like make assumptions, is really important. And so then therefore you go into that show with very clear expectations. Meaning when you come back, the executives or your boss or your manager or your colleagues, whomever, they aren't trying to make assumptions or trying to say like, hey, why didn't you do this or why'd you do that? It's kind of have like a pre-read before. And then additionally, beyond that, right, when I get back, I very much make sure to kind of write up a retro or like a postmortem type doc, which really kind of elaborates my findings from there, right? What's going to happen next time? Should we attend this again? My recommendations, recaps of various meetings and things like that I saw there, that we can then distribute to the larger audience, and you know, maybe distribute to the product team. And now the product team will see this as a conference that they should maybe attend in the future, right? Or the marketing team will see this as a conference that they can attend in the future as well as a sponsor or making some big splash to use it for customer acquisition stuff. Communication up front, I think, is very important, and making sure there's a good ROI, like you said, hits it right on the head.
The piece that I found really interesting, especially if it's like a booth purchase or to your point, like a joint partner kind of happy hour, there are numbers you can kind of partially back into, i.e. like, okay, this happy hour is costing us, I don't know, $1,500. If we get one qualified lead as a result of that, it kind of pays it off. And so I think in some circumstances, it can get really kind of to the point of, okay, we generated 5, 6, 7 leads off the back of this conference. That means, hey, like, you know, next year it makes sense because the ROI is kind of quantifiable. So that's always something that I think I used to do is just when I came back, tracking the leads. If there is like a way of tracking those, I know conferences can be difficult, but.
For better or for worse, a lot of these conferences now have their own apps, right? And so I'm waiting for an app that really, I guess, functions really well that can maybe plug directly into like a CRM type platform instead of having to export it and put notes in there and then export or whatever it is and then upload it somewhere else, right?
The app side brings up like a lot of funny memories of going to Inbound. And I had this one client who was hilarious and just like, there was like a, just like a communication thread on there and just I'll have to go through it later, but it can be noisy. And so that's where it comes down to like, I think you brought up some good points of just being very open, upfront and transparent about how you're planning and strategizing. And I think the other side that is super interesting for all partner professionals or just any professionals in the space is when you go to new conferences or a conference that your company hasn't gone to is and can be like pretty anxiety riddled. Like, is this going to work out or is this going to be sunk cost? But I think from, you know, someone who's attending, it's important to keep a very open mindset around, you know what, like, I might not be the right person to go to this next year, but to your point, Jason, like this is square in our marketing team's like wheelhouse. It's absolutely somewhere where our sales team should have a heavy presence. So it's, you've got to do a lot of detective work both beforehand and while you're there to make sure that you're really like figuring out if this is something that's viable for the future or not. How do you start to determine what conferences you should be going to and why? And you touched on it earlier, but I think, you know, like really like the conferences that someone from a SaaS company is going to leave and be like, you know what, this is a conference we need to be going to every year. This is a conference we need to be sponsoring. This is a conference we need to have a huge presence.
Fortunately, I'm part of a couple pretty good groups, like partnership leader groups, Slack groups and things like that. And there's a lot of good conversations and thought leaders in those groups. the people that have good insights into various conferences, I think there's a channel or two dedicated to just conferences, right? And so being able to engage with people over there, you know, just starting to explore, like I went to a conference recently, as an example, the Channel Partner Conference and Expo a couple weeks ago out in Vegas. And so going through just the list of sponsors on the website and noticing names over there, and we have a relationship over there. So doing some proactive outreach, right? It's kind of the first step. So proactively outreaching to these partners prior to the event, right? Getting their input about that event themselves, right? If you are in the position also, offer to host maybe sessions or workshops. You know, being a huge keynote speaker typically comes along with being a big-time sponsor. And obviously, not everyone's going to be a big-time sponsor. But there's a lot of other valuable input and insights people can take away from these conferences, from these kind of like these side sessions. And personally, I think those actually provide, to me, what I've had in my past, I've learned a lot more from those versus those flashy keynote ones. You get a big speaker from, let's say, Microsoft or Dell or Facebook, really cool and fun and exciting. But the stuff they were sharing on stage is nothing too deep because it has to appeal to a mass audience. And so showcasing your offerings and expertise and how working together, this partner and that partner makes sense, promoting to a more selective group audience really goes a long way. The next piece I would say, the third piece, is that cross-promotion engagement, cross-booth stuff, happy hour, things like that. Those have been very helpful as well. And then it goes up kind of leading into the conference, social posts, email posts, things of that, cross-collaboration on that stuff or commenting back and forth on things or being able to call out on our own social posts. We're going to be at XYZ conference with, you know, Tom and Ben from, you know, wherever, right? Those are all things that also kind of start feeding this funnel a bit of trying to get more engagement and more eyeballs onto you, which will then feed back into that ROI conversation, making sure it's, you know, really valuable. It's a really worthwhile investment to attend.
Yeah, it seems like the data that we've got available now via tools like Crossbeam and Reveal, you can work out kind of pre-conference as well, overlaps, customers you want introductions to, and that becomes a softer landing for partners to make those introductions, especially if, you know, using HubSpot, you've got a joint customer that also uses HubSpot you want intro to. That's probably a good point to go and kind of, you know, take them out to dinner or whatever and have a joint dinner. I agree. I think those things are really impactful.
Yeah, there's two points that I gather from that, Jason, which is one, you know, you've got to put in the work beforehand. If you want to see success or own, I guess, your own success, you have to put in the work beforehand, or, you know, like you might show up and not really have any meetings or have any agenda. And I think it goes back to another point, which is, you know, conferences can be seen in kind of two lights. One is, you know, how can I drive success for our company? So, you know, like, what are we being, what's kind of like the measurable impact that we're seeing? Is it going to be, you know, qualified leads coming out of it? Is it going to be solidifying partnerships? That's all really sustainable and able, you're able to visualize. But then there's more of the personal side too, which is you're trying to grow professionally. Like, I want to go to conferences to hopefully learn and educate myself via sessions or, you know, via networking and just meeting more people in the space. I think, you know, like the intellectual property that you get from going from a conference is what kind of excites you leaving it. And it ties into the point that I'm going to make, which is prepare yourself to try and not burn yourself out. Like, I remember the 4 or 5 years that I attended Inbound. Now, granted, like, we were a fun agency that would go out and have beers after too. So like, there was the mass effect of waking up early or waking up late. But my point there is, like, be strategic in how you plan out your days. You know, much like you're coming into the office every day and you're like, you're hopefully calendaring, like, what's your day look like. Honestly, for conferences, it's almost like 5x more important for me to make sure that I'm like very strategic about where I'm going, what I'm doing, because you will start to feel that burnout effect by like day two. And so it's really important to just take a step back, you know, understand you're only human and really just like go in with a plan.
Well, yeah, I think so. My first conference I went to, I remember I was very overwhelmed. And then thereafter, I set up a lot of meetings and I was very overwhelmed again because I didn't realize, and especially in Vegas sometimes, going from, let's say, the one coffee station to a booth to the bar, all that stuff, that's a lot of like walking and travel. And so what I try and do now is really kind of, it's really book like 5 strong meetings a day and space about like an hour between. So in case you go over, you don't have to rush through a conversation, gives you time to walk or take a bathroom break or get another coffee between to re-energize yourself. Cause it is, in my mind, it's more of a marathon than a sprint sometimes, but if you're doing 5 meetings a day and these are impactful meetings, that's, you're there for 3 days, right? That's 15 just meetings. And that's not counting the stuff you're going to have in between the dinners or the happy hours or the beers or the booth interactions. Maybe if you're walking the floor sometimes, another thing which I noticed just recently, and I'm out of the game a little bit, right, is that the more you go to these conferences, the more faces you'll start recognizing. And so there's like these like posses or cliques, if you will, for better or for worse, right? And so if you're going to a conference by yourself, doing that pre-work prior to it is extremely important, because trying to break into a clique or a posse or a group of people who go to conferences, these conferences every year, I mean, not easy, and it's be hard to do that. And so setting your day in advance, doing the outreach in advance, doing the research in advance, right? Setting your expectations in advance. And I'm not talking about like a day, I'm talking like weeks, right? Like your meetings should be booked weeks before. And there's going to be a lot of no-shows and confusion and all that stuff and missing stuff. That's going to happen. So just don't worry about that. But the pre-show work is really what drives the success of the actual show.
What's like your post-conference workflow or checklist that you kind of work through as well?
I am not the best of the post-conference checklist, especially that week. So I usually wait like a full week afterwards, because I know myself, I'm getting bombarded with messages from everyone. Like, hey, just met you yesterday. I'm like, holy, relax. Like, you know, slow your roll. If you're going to a conference, like, your day-to-day work also probably gets put in the back burner a little bit. So you're trying to work at night or the next day. So you got to get people to catch up. And so I found throughout the years that taking a slow approach and relaxed approach, not following up immediately or the next day, like give it a week. Like, hey, we met last week. Want to follow up on these 2 items or whatever we spoke about and take the conversation further, right? That to me is just been like very impactful, like giving them space to internalize the meeting, especially if it was a great meeting. Again, don't forget you're planning in advance and you're spacing an hour between meetings sometimes, right? So you're not having to rush through and it's not just like a meet and greet and you're running out. Like, let's actually have a good conversation. And from those, let's say 15 conversations, maybe 5 will be really good ones, right? And from those 5, maybe 2 or 3 result into something like really impactful to the business or some sort of impact to the business. Now, I think all 15 will be have eventually down the road, because you're paving that path for success eventually. Because partnerships obviously take time, right? It's not a transactional deal like sales. It takes time to build that. And so having that first conversation, let's say at conference A, then meeting again at conference B, finally at conference C when you meet them, now it's more casual. And then you're going to like, hey, let's grab a beer instead of just meeting like in a face-to-face, like one of these, you know, sometimes there's like these mini booths, if you will, some of these conferences. And so having that pre-show work sets you up for success in the after show. And so give it a week out. Make sure your talking points are relevant. And I would say even in your meetings at the conferences with these people, take notes. Don't be afraid to walk around with a pen and a notebook. That's what I always do. And take notes, right? And then ideally you'd be able to kind of transcribe that somewhere into like a Salesforce or some other digital place, so you can search those a bit better and helps you remember that more and share that obviously as well. But it's give it a minute. To kind of sink in, I would say that's the most important thing for me.
You know, in terms of the tactical takeaways here, I think you brought up a couple of good ones that I just want to recap for the audience. One is you clearly need to put in the work beforehand. You cannot, you know, book a conference, show up to the conference and expect that you're going to get value unless you put some pretty decent legwork in on the front side. And once again, like, you know, depending on your role, you know, at partnerships, we've got a full marketing team that can help support us. So like, I'm not saying that you need to do it all yourself, but come in with a plan and make sure that you're utilizing your internal resources to prepare for that conference. And then finally, you know, once you leave, when you're at the conference, figure out how to avoid that burnout. Like, slow everything down, come in with a plan, come in with an agenda. And honestly, like, we've been talking a lot about items around just being open, like carrying around a notebook and taking notes, even if you're talking to someone, or just, you know, needing to like back out and take like a bathroom break or a 10-minute break. It's you should never shy away from like taking care of what you need to take care of, whether it's professionally or personally. And then finally, when you leave the conference, everyone's also leaving the conference. So take a pause, give it a few days, and then start to kind of hit back to that. Like, I think you're going to find like the honeymoon phase of leaving a conference, you're going to feel really high, and then all of a sudden you're going to crash because you got to get back to your own stuff. So just give it a little bit of time. Everyone's in the same boat. And then, you know, do diligent research and follow up when you're ready to go. Audience, good to chat with you again. This was Howdy Partners. Thank you, Jason and Ben, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.